Our reading this evening is from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, we found on Pew Bibles, page 1033. Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up into the temple to pray at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who had used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thank God for this amazing word.
Well, good evening. We're going to be continuing in our studies, the front line. And this evening we're looking at the front line concern. What is it that really concerns those that we meet on our front line day to day? And just to remind you that our front line will probably be different for everybody in this room. It's really just where you spend most of your time in the week, where you meet people. I do enjoy a good whodunit. I'm a sucker for Poirot and Miss Marple. I also like these big scientific epics where the world is going to come to an end. I'm not suggesting that they're good examples to follow, but there we are. They sort of catch my attention. But one of the things that really frustrates me is this is what happens. Someone has just been murdered. The house has just been burnt down to the ground. The US president has just been told that there's a 10-mile meteor heading to the Earth, and the Earth is going to be demolished within a few hours. And what happens is the two main characters, maybe the hero and somebody else, they turn to one another and they say, "Are you okay?" And it really annoys me because I think, what a stupid question. What sort of question is that when your life has just fallen apart? Are you okay? But we do ask dark questions, don't we? And also we give responses that won't really open up really what's going on. So the frontline concern, what do they really mean when they respond to you in this way? "I'm okay. I'm okay. Really, it's just I'm not okay. You know, I've got issues and I've got problems. I'm not really okay." But we just come out with those responses so quickly, don't we? "I'm okay. I'll be fine. You know, don't worry about me. I'll be fine. I'll be all right. No, I'm not going to be fine. I really need support and I need help. I need your help. To tell you the truth," well, I'm not actually going to tell you the whole truth. But to tell you the truth, "I don't want to be any trouble." Well, actually, I really need your help. I need to be a trouble to you just now in this situation that I'm finding in. Don't you worry about me. Well, yes, please worry about me. Please pray for me. Please think about me. We must keep in touch. Well, we know that's not going to happen. You know, we're all so busy. And we make promises, don't we? We must keep in touch. We'll keep in contact. We'll find out about what's happening in our lives. So, the frontline concern that we're looking at this evening is, how do we see through this, through to what's actually going on in someone's life and experience? For Peter and John, it was an ordinary day. They were doing what they did commonly at that time in their lives. They went up to the temple to pray, a really good thing to be doing. And at the temple, they met a lame man. And for him, it was a very ordinary, very, very tedious day. Day in and day out, somebody, perhaps friend, brought him to the gate of the temple, and there he would beg. And it was the only way that he could survive. It was just an ordinary day. He was hoping that maybe a few generous people would give him a little money. And we read there, didn't we, as David read the scriptures to us. So Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. For once, people weren't seeing through him, which is what normally happened. Somebody was actually looking right at him, and he realized that something perhaps was different. And so maybe rather than keeping his head down, maybe that's what normally happened. He took a good look at these two men in front of him and he listened to them. And Peter sees the real need of the lame man. He sees his need for, not for money, not for alms, but for healing. How do we know what God wants us to do on our front line? We need to open our eyes, just as Peter opened his eyes to the needs of this man. Jesus reminded his own disciples about that, didn't he? In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus challenges his disciples. He said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labors." And so Jesus says to his disciples, take a good look, open your eyes and see the harvest. See what's staring you right in the face. So how am I going to know what I should do? Open our eyes and take a good look. Perhaps each morning, as you go to your front line, wherever that is, whether it might actually be in this church with some of the services that goes on here, it might be in work, it might be at home, why not ask the Lord? Why not pray to him? Lord, please open my eyes to see the needs of those that I will meet today. And you know, perhaps it will become very obvious what we should actually do. So we open our eyes and we give them time Peter and John spent time having a good look at this man. They didn't just sweep by with a quick response. They gave him time. And time is our most precious resource. We've seen as we looked through the Gospels how again and again Jesus, he spends time. He's got a really busy schedule. There's so much that he could do, but he goes and he spends time with individuals. He spends time with Nicodemus, who comes to him at night and discusses all the issues that he's got. He spends time with the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, even in the heat of the day. He spends time. This is not easy because, and I know Paul mentioned this, you know, in terms of my front line is at work. I work for a pharmaceutical company, and they don't pay me to evangelize my colleagues. They don't pay me to spend all my time listening to their concerns. You know, they are very clear what they expect me to do. And so there's always a struggle there on my front line as to how I set aside time. And I'm the sort of person, I'm very project-faced, focused. You know, I want to get in and I want to get on with work. And I know what my schedule is for that day. And I know it's going to be lots of interruptions. That goes with my job. But I know what I want to do. And so my struggle is that I'm so focused on getting on with what needs to be done. And so it's hard for me to set aside time. I think one of the other studies that we looked at the other week, in the videos that we were looking at, someone had the same sort of issues in terms of he didn't have time to find out what his friends were doing at work. So he decided just to go into work 15 minutes earlier every day. And that extra 15 minutes gave him time to spend with his friends and to share and to find out what their concerns were. So it's about a balance, isn't it? Spending time and looking at the needs of those that I work with. And you know, time is so important. I worked for company Glaxo and I got involved with lots of clinical trials. And like many companies, we were looking for drugs that we could use for treating mental illness, things like depression. And one of the real struggles was that these studies were done always with a placebo. So that means that a group of patients would receive an active and a group of patients would receive like a pretend drug. And the problem with mental studies in mental illness was that they always had a really big placebo effect. So even if you were just taking a tablet with no active, some people really responded well to it. Why? Because when you're involved in a clinical trial, somebody sits down and they spend a lot of time with you. They question you, they talk to you, they find out how you are. And the simple fact that you were spending so much time meant that you had a big placebo effect. And it was quite hard sometimes to prove that your drugs work. So time is so precious to us, something that we struggle with. But spending time with our friends at work, within all the constraints that there are, is so vital. So give them your time. I love the picture in Isaiah of God coming and sitting down with us. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, he's talking to his people Israel, and he says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." And that's that lovely picture of sitting down with God, and God spending time with us, talking to us, communicating with us. And if it's important that we spend time with our Lord, it's important that we spend time with our colleagues at work. So give them your time. And then tell them why. Peter explained later on what had happened. And he made it very clear that he had not been able to heal this man because he was anything special, because he was particularly godly, He told them that he was able to do it simply through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to, as well as doing, as well as sharing, as well as talking with our friends, as well as supporting them, we also need to tell them why we're doing this. I love hearing from Esther in Iraq, and she tells us that she often meets with, she's working with children who have severe physical needs. And one of the things that really struck me is that when she talks to their parents, they say, "Why do you love our children so much? You actually seem to love them more than we do." And that's just a way straight in to tell them about the fact that it's because God loves her and gives her the opportunity to share that she probably wouldn't do otherwise. And we're told in the scriptures, "Men, let them see your good works, but glorify your Father in heaven." So we need to do both of these things, as well as giving them our time and listening to them and asking God to show us their need. We need to tell them why we're doing this. And of course, it's not that we do it because we want a pat on the back. We do it because we want God's name to be glorified. We do it so that we want them to come into a living relationship with God. So we do and we say. We show our love and we show our concern for those on the front line that we meet. And we tell them why, that it's through the fact that we've come into a relationship with God. We tell them that it's because God loved us first. So tomorrow, why don't you just ask God to show you who he wants you to meet with that day and to show them their need and to guide you and give them time, just as God gives us his love and his time. May God bless us.